There is an amazing story, a man called Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and he rebuilds a broken down wall. Why does Hornsby need strong walls? Again, I'm in metaphor language right now. We need walls, do we not, to keep some things out and to keep some things in. And we need walls that are strong to build strong morality in our city. We need walls that are strong to build strong values. We need walls that are strong to build strong emotional health, to build strong mental health. We need walls that are going to build and help families be safe and keep some things out of families. We need strong walls in our city. Nehemiah builds a wall, and there's a beautiful picture. I'm not going to speak much about this except to say, in the picture, families build the walls together. It's so powerful. Literally, he organises the building of the wall such that family groups build together. That just moves me to think about that. And they're holding swords at the same time as they're holding trowels. They're holding swords. I haven't got to this slide yet, but you understand that they're holding swords to fight the enemy, and they're also holding trowels to build the walls.
Yeah.
That's the day we live in.
Yeah.
We're in that day now. We're simultaneously the building for strength. We need to protect and fight off the things that are destructive. So I want you to grab a brick and just imagine this brick represents you. Now I know. This is what it is. Bricks of many different shapes and sizes and colours, right? The size of your brick is immaterial compared to the size of the brick next to you, whoever, whatever that is. But I want you to think about you. And I want you to just honestly ask yourself the question, what value do you place upon yourself as a potential wall builder toward that 100-year vision that we can say, it's in Isaiah chapter 26, we have a strong city. I don't think we can say that at the moment. I don't think we can say we have a strong city.
Not yet.
But I believe that God is building strong cities. That's his heart. He needs bowls that are clean, and Ed spoke about that. And he needs bricks. And I believe what I'm talking about now is a vision for nobility, a way we think about who we are in Jesus, a way we think about the kingdom of God, a way we think about what it means to be kings and priests.
Yes.
Look, and I knew when I brought these in, there's going to be all kinds of pranks and things going on. That's quite okay. So I'm talking for just a few minutes about nobility. We did talk about nobility a couple of hubs ago, but I just feel like there's part of a fresh thing that is a call to nobility. It's actually a call to conceive of yourself in Jesus as being noble. So I'm going to talk about what that means. This is going to be fairly quick, and we will post stuff online on our website. But there is a very key scripture. I think it's behind me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren and women, please don't get put off by that language. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, is the verse. Think on these things. I want to ask you, do you think noble thoughts? The beginning of nobility comes with actually thinking noble. Now, back in the day, if you read any form of European history, you've heard of the feudal system, and you were either a noble, or you were whatever the opposite of that is. A peasant, exactly. Thank you, Karen. You were non-noble. And if you were not born into nobility, you were never going to be noble. And if you tried to marry into nobility, right, you know how that goes. It's bad. But we are born into nobility as Christians. We have Jesus in us. We actually get a completely different bloodline. We are noble. You are noble. And we're encouraged in the scripture to think noble thoughts. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. Our thoughts determine our actions. Our thoughts determine everything about really what our future will look like. Our thoughts will determine what 2024 looks like for you. Our thoughts will determine what 2030 might look like. So the injunction of the scripture, I believe it's a call to nobility. Nobility is a mindset. It's birthed from revelation, and it requires a supernatural renewing of our minds. Paul writes, whatever things are noble, think on these things. So moving on, a few tracks of nobility. We won't spend much time, but I just want to build a case for nobility quickly. I was going to say this morning. That was a long time ago. Didn't it? So point number one, people who are truly noble, I think, are lovers of wisdom. People who are truly noble love wisdom. There's so much scripture to support this, but one scripture is in Proverbs chapter 8. We'll post this online, but it talks about how by me kings reign, by me princes rule, and nobles help to judge the earth. So nobility, noble thinking. Ultimately, we're talking about righteousness. We're talking about justice. We're talking about things that are very healthy for everything that is society. It comes from how we think, and it comes from loving wisdom. Pursuing, this is what it looks like to be noble. This is what noble behavior looks like. It looks like pursuing God's wisdom. Moving on, number two traits, and second trait of nobility, people who are truly noble understand that they can influence their communities. And just consider me, you. Do I really have a vision and a belief that I can influence? I'm pretty sure Evie's past that moment. of being too serious. That's all right. I get it. But do you genuinely believe in Christ that you can have an influence on our community? Because you can. Part of the definition of the word is simply, the Hebrew word is, people who, nobles, believe they can play a significant role in the life of their community. And there's scriptures for that. Number three, people who are truly noble hunger for God's word. A fascinating verse in the book of Acts, and it says something like this. Paul and Silas went on a trip. They arrived at a place called Berea, and when they arrived, they found that the Bereans were more noble-minded than the others. And why were they considered to be noble-minded? The verse says in Acts 17, verse 11, because they received God's word with readiness. They searched the scriptures daily to find out what things were and what things weren't, and many of them believed. So there's a trait of nobility. There's something about people who are influential in communities. There's something about people who we are in Christ. It's a hunger to learn God's word, and it's a daily searching. In other words, we're talking about something that is very regular, not random. These Berean people took personal responsibility for engaging with God's word for themselves. We live in an era, don't we? We're spoiled. You can hop online to pretty much any preacher in the world at any time, and we can be fed in that sense very easily. But I think the Bereans were different to that. They actually wanted and knew and moved in a responsibility to feed for themselves, to engage directly with God's word. We need the gift of preaching, right?
Yeah.
We do. The body of Christ needs teachers. We do. But nobility is about actually engaging with the scriptures for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not about head knowledge. It's actually about engaging. It's interesting, the word scriptures is based on the word graphe, which is like biography. We are reading the biography of Jesus himself when we read the scriptures.
Yeah.
Enough said. I've almost done. Point number four, I believe people who are truly noble are faithful people. So there's a story, it's in Luke chapter 19, it's the steward story, the 10 the guys who were, it says a certain nobleman went into a far country, and then he gave out a delegation, gave people stuff, money to his servants, and then he called them back and said, well, how did you go? What did you do with your money? And some of you are familiar with the story. Because the man who was given 10 miners, it's a currency, but it was a significant amount of money. Because that man invested the money, used it wisely, was productive with the money, then the nobleman said to him, that's noble what you've just done. I'm going to give you more as a consequence. So nobility and faithfulness go together. Nobility and being wise with what we're given. Look at your brick. This is you. You've been given stuff. Who you are is significant. Your gifts are significant. I think Louisa prayed over this. Who you are is significant. You have resources. You have been given time. We're called upon as nobly as widely. Lastly, people who are truly noble are honouring to the name by which they are called. There's a great scripture in the book of Acts, again, in verse 25 of chapter 11, and it says something like this, that you find it, Barnabas... here we go. I apologise, I've got so many verses on the page here. It's not jumping off at me. Here we go. It's the story in James. And James writes about, when the rich guy comes into the church, people want to pay attention to the rich person. The poor person's there. Everyone ignores that person. And this is what James says. Do they not blaspheme, talking about rich people who are dishonouring towards poor people, do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Now, he's writing actually about the noble name of Jesus himself. In Antioch, it says they were first called Christians in Antioch. Antioch's a place. So we are called by the name of Jesus, right? Christians. That we are Christ's ones. We are followers of Jesus. There's something about recognising the nobility of that name by which you and I are called as Christians, to honour that name. People who are truly noble are honouring to the name by whom you and I are called. That's us. We're noble because we're called actually after Christ himself. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
So there are five quick exhortations to nobility. I just believe as we move into the coming year that the Holy Spirit just wants to revitalize how we see ourselves as nobility. Many of you would know that Jesus spends a lot of time in the Gospels teaching about the kingdom of God. That can be a very kind of trite phrase sometimes, not necessarily always understood, but the kingdom of God is actually about nobility. It's about us being kings, kingly, representing who Jesus is and having an influence where we go and being like him. So nobility. Thank you, Lord, for nobility in the room. I'd just like you to hold your block or hold your bowl, or you don't have to, don't lose your block. And don't eat the bowl yet. It's not a chocolate bowl. It really all begins, honestly, with just being willing right now in this moment to surrender, to give, to offer as a living sacrifice, you and you. This is exactly the same, but to offer who you are, your heart, to offer that bit of you that represents how you carry God, to offer that bit of you that the Holy Spirit just is all about cleansing and purifying and just making ready to serve him. And it's this bit of you, the gifts and talents and who you are and how you move around in your neighbourhood and in your job and all those spaces, and just being willing to be built into the wall to make the city strong. So, Father, we just hold who we are. We want to surrender it to you, and we want to ask you to bring your power, to bring your anointing, to bring Holy Spirit, something that is living and real and fresh as we go from this room. Lord, we just believe in faith, and we look to the end of this 2023 year. Lord, we look ahead into 2024, and we look around us, we look at what our city looks like, we look around at what this nation looks like, we look around at what our neighbourhoods look like, and we look around with a great sense of expectation and thankfulness. We just want to say, as we look around in this particular time, and we just thank you for our church that we belong to. Thank you for the church that we're part of, and we thank you, God, for the freedom and the responsibility that we have to be builders, to be jointly built as living stones. So we thank you, God. Thanks for everybody in the room. Just release a great blessing on us all. Thank you for the food that's prepared. Thank you, God, for the time of just hanging out together, relational time. And God, we bless you. We give you glory, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Amen.